the toad. Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me out, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have... Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
I'm your host, Veronica Monet. Thank you for tuning in. I have a lot of buzz on Facebook tonight, and I posed the question, are you afraid to tell the truth? And that is our topic tonight. Joining me is Julia Young. She is a therapist, and she's also a relationship coach, a communication educator. So she's got a really extensive background, and I'm over here on her website right now. It's Julianne. Young.com. So that'd be J-U-L-I-A-N-N Young.com. And I'll post that to Facebook if you happen to be on there right now. If you're not my friend on Facebook yet, you need to sign up. I'm listed under Veronica Monet, and I think there's maybe a couple of people with that name around the world, so look for the only one in the United States, okay? Anyway. And I'm actually live on Facebook right now, so if you do request a friend connection, I can tune you in so that you can join the conversation. Julia Young, thank you so much for joining us in the Shame-Free Zone. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Well, it's an interesting topic that you and I have conjured. And I'm actually kind of interested in the responses that I have gotten off of Facebook. But before we dive into that, and there's a lot to talk about here, let's give the folks a little bit about why it is you went from talking about yourself as a therapist, which you're fully licensed and educated, I believe, to calling yourself a relationship coach.
That's a good question. I think for me, I ended up making the change. I did graduate, and I did do 1,000 hours as part of my internship, and I found that what I wanted to do was I just really wanted to be more of looking at challenges that come up and looking at them from a solution-based approach. And that's not to say that as a therapist you can't take that approach, because you can. I think for me, it just seems there's a different, you know, stigma that goes along with being a therapist versus being a coach. And I kind of just wanted to be able to have my choice to do both. And as I continued my internship, to do the coaching, you know, as the other part.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that I'm kind of the opinion that I think people are heading in the coaching direction just because therapy has been kind of stereotyped as being some long-term meandering process that really doesn't have a goal.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes it does get that stigma, which is, I think that is why I chose to move in that direction. But I do know that there are, you know, therapists that I've worked with that do go solution, you know, focused approach, and so it's more kind of on a forward thinking. But it does seem to me that it, you know, there are more people moving into coaching.
Yeah, I think so too. So, okay, we've established that. Now, how long have you been doing this?
The actual coaching, let's see, I've been doing the coaching since last July. So in terms of actual coaching, it's just under a year. And then in terms of the therapy, I've been doing that for a couple years.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got a beautiful picture here on your website, which I'm going to share with all the people over here on Facebook.
Thank you.
So so, and this is your radio debut, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then I just, you know, here in the Shame Free Zone, I love popping cherries. So
only Veronica, right?
Well, you know, we are shame free here, so we sometimes say things that are a little bit scandalous. But speaking of the honesty thing, now I did a little experiment here. The first thing I did is I asked people if they were afraid to tell the truth. And I'm sure I'm not going to have to point out the disparity in the responses here. But we first started off with, let's see here. Question was, what is honesty to you? Does it play a big part in establishing trust in your relationships, or could you care less? What constitutes a lie in your book? Do you count those little white lies, or do you assume everyone lies? So then we had Dean Smith. He came in and he says, everyone does lie, and if they say they don't, guess what? They're lying. Then we had Chris Perdue. He says, Dean, you're right on the mark. Now, the only voice of dissension here came from a friend of mine. His name is Greg Brown, and Greg actually is a therapist. So he, of course, had something perhaps a little more healthy, I think, to say about it. He said, I've come to realize that not being honest with my partners is pretty vicious because they think I'm someone else or somehow different than how and who I really am. I'm really a stranger to them. So, you know, that expresses some ability to see how your lying might be impacting others. I got up here and said, are you afraid to tell the truth to your partner, to you, to your family, to your best friend, to yourself? Hannah Dalton said, sometimes to family and friends because I do not know how they will react. Chris Perdue said, one's reaction when receiving the truth plays a huge part in determining whether one will continue to receive the truth. And Hannah Dalton said, hey, that's a good comment. So far we've kind of got people saying, hey, you know, everybody lies. That's just the way it is. It's a human condition. And, you know, some people don't deserve the truth because they don't react very well to it. Then I asked people, hey, how do you feel when someone you trust lies to you?
Wow, turn it around there, huh?
All of a sudden, we've got Hannah Dalton, the same one who was saying, basically, I don't tell my family the truth, says she feels betrayed. Paul Hawk said, I feel alone. Hannah Dalton said, I would guard my heart and I would not be sure what to say around them. That's if somebody lied to her. Alan Perry said, you know the answer to that question. I had someone betray me after 13 years, and it's still happening today with others, even people 20 years ago. And Hannah says, it hurts bad, doesn't it, Alan? Ronald Hicks says, insulted and angry. Me being their name goes on a list of people I need to remove from my life. Hannah Dalton says, I stopped talking to two or three because I was lied on. Ronald Hicks says, it sucks. Hannah Dalton says, it does. It caused me to have to repeat a college class. Ronald Hicks says, that really sucks. Alan Perry comes back and he says, it's a bitch, even when you've been loyal to that person for so long and never seen it coming. And Hannah says, yeah, that professor had faves and did my other assignments, and I still failed. I cannot deal with people like that in this situation. And Ronald comes back and says, neither can I. Definitely know where you're coming from. So, of course, the end result here, now we only had one person who said she could handle being lied to. Tyler Spencer said, pissed most times, but not heartbroken, depending on the gravity or consequences of the lie. We all do it. We're all human. But anyway, overall, there was a real double standard here. Basically, sure, I lie once in a while, but if somebody lies to me, I may never speak to them again. And has that been kind of a consistent human condition in your experience, Julia, or have you experienced something else with your clients?
I absolutely think that has been a human condition that, you know, most times when people are lied to, it's all about how to rebuild the trust in the relationship. And when you're dealing, because I'm a relationship coach and I work primarily, you know, on the level of relationships, and truth within a relationship is the most important thing, whether that be couple, you know, family, friends, no matter what the relationship is, but it can be a double standard.
Right, and that was a distinction, by the way, that I really loved about that you make about relationships on your website, which is that a relationship coach is not necessarily a romance coach or a marriage coach. We're talking about every kind of relationship, even people that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like
it's all
that.
About relating, and truth is, you know, truth is really important. You know, but it is put out there that a lot of people lie. It is part of the human condition. People do lie. What's interesting is, I think, one of the things that I find interesting from a spiritual perspective is that it offers the opportunity. I'm not saying it's okay to lie, and I'm not saying it's good in a relationship to lie, but certainly when lies do surface, it truly offers an opportunity for two people to grow even closer if one can learn forgiveness and the other one can learn to take 100% responsibility in their relationship. So something good can come out of it even when it hurts.
So let's go into that a little bit deeper if we can. You know, this idea that somehow or another, if you wouldn't make such a big deal out of the truth, I would tell you the truth. But because you get upset and I knew how you'd react, that's why I didn't tell you, and really it's your fault.
Yeah, when I, you know, because I read the comments too, and then when you repeated it, I can understand that reaction. The thing is that if we allow, that allows the other person the power to decide whether you're going to be integrity, stand in your integrity and in your honesty. So their reaction is determining your truth. I would wonder about that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because we had, now, Chris Perdue came in and he said, well, a lot of people are mean and vicious to others under the guise of honesty. So, I mean, that's the other thing I hear. I hear people basically say, it's your fault that I lied because, you know, you're some kind of a spoil sport and you wouldn't, you know, somehow or another, you'd get upset if you knew I was cheating on you. That's why I didn't tell you. And then the other side of that coin being, hey, I lied to you because I'm trying to protect your feelings. And I think that telling the truth is cruel. So what would you say to those? I mean, those are like two excuses for lying right there that are pretty common.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Big excuses for lying. And the thing is that, I mean, one of the key things there that you, a word you use is it's an excuse for lying. And I think you have to take, here's the thing, I really do think that you have to take situations, and this is all a matter of opinion, but in a case, we'll go down the cheating in a moment, but let's talk about where somebody's trying to protect someone. Okay, well, it's almost can be condescending to say I'm protecting you, because then that's saying you're not strong enough to handle the truth. So I would question that line of thinking, because it's robbing the other person of their truth when you're lying to them. They don't get the opportunity to deal with it and decide whether they're strong enough to either stay or whatever it might be. The only time that I think that would be an exception is, what if somebody's very volatile? What if they're suicidal? What if they're in a predicament that you know that's going to push that person off the edge?
Right.
If you told them the truth, is that really then the, I mean, so there are cases where you do need to think through, is this in this person's best interest to tell the truth? Those are, you know, few and far between, because I really stand firm in truth, but that's me. I make the choice to be as honest as I can all the time and do it in a loving way. So I don't go down the mean and vicious road just because I'm being honest. So, and then kind of going towards the whole excuse of, well, it's your fault, you know, you would get upset when you found out I cheated, for example.
Right.
Well, you know, you're the behavior is yours, you're the one that cheated, so you need to take responsibility for the cheating. And if the other person gets upset because you cheated, that's what they have to deal with. That's a dicey, don't get me wrong, like, oh, let's not all run out and tell somebody that 10 years ago we cheated, you know, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that you can't blame the other person for, if they have a reaction to your choices and actions, you can't blame them for having a reaction. You can only be responsible for your choices and actions.
One of the things that I tell my clients, and as you know, I do consulting and coaching with couples as well,
mm-hmm.
I often tell them that you know, if you're in a polyamorous situation, like, you know, where you've negotiated to have an open relationship, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Then more power to you. And you know, this is the great thing about being adults in a free society. You can negotiate any kind of a relationship that you want. But if the relationship that you have agreed to involves genital fidelity, and then you've decided that you're going to step out of the bounds of that without telling your partner, you're actually committing an act of theft, because this person is still giving you access to their body and their heart under false pretenses. And they haven't agreed to be subjected to whatever STDs you might be exposing yourself to. They haven't agreed to any of these terms at all. So you're stealing their affections and stealing their physical intimacy.
I love the way you put that. I mean, I had that conversation earlier today with one of my friends, and that's exactly, I mean, I said, you're taking that person's power away when the other part of that, which you just said, is the theft of that is a lot of us have intuition, and we know when someone's lying to us. Our instincts tell us. And when we call that person on it and then they lie to us, they're stealing our truth from us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because and because often I've been in situations where I was being lied to about, you know, matters of fidelity, and I was in an open relationship, so that was really frustrating, because it's like anything was possible, but you needed to check with me first. You know, that was the agreement, was that you didn't just go do whatever you wanted. Neither was I. we had to check with each other first, and so I wasn't allowed to have that, and I could tell something was wrong. I could tell this one woman was, the energy was coming from her that I did not like. But every time I went to my partner to ask what was going on, he said, "No, I don't know why you feel that way, but that is definitely not what's happening." And he did that for 2 years. 2 years, and it drove me out of my mind. I just, you know, I couldn't trust myself. I felt like, why won't this feeling go away? What's wrong with me? And, you know, that I have some responsibility for that. That has to do with my childhood of not trusting my own perceptions. But boy, that was horrible. It felt like a rape in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that come out of when there is a cheating situation going on, if the other person is in tune with it and picks up on that energy, which, you know, most of us do, believe it or not. I mean, you know that from working with people on a spiritual level. We really do pick up on those things. And, you know, here in this case, you carry it around for 2 years wondering and getting lied to over and over and over, and then that robs you in a way from your own intuition and your own instincts, because they're telling you, no, you're crazy.
Yes, yes.
And that's usually the term that cheaters...
Yes, it is!
They
you're crazy!
Love to use that
you're
term.
Crazy!
You're
Why
crazy!
Do you think such a...
Yes, exactly.
That's true.
You're the crazy one. You're overreacting, all because I asked you a question. If it were an honest situation, then the person would probably be more loving about it, would have a conversation about it. But if they go straight into denial, it doesn't always mean the person's lying, because some people just have a trigger that they don't want to be accused of lying.
Sure.
You know?
But it is a flag that I look for, definitely, if the person tries to get out of the conversation as quickly as possible. Because usually there's more like, wow, why would you think that? And what else is going on in our relationship? Maybe we need to talk.
Yeah, now that would be a healthy communication between
there you go.
Two partners.
But if somebody's got a lie to hide, it's usually, no, whatever gave you that idea? That's preposterous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's a constant denial. And that's the unfortunate part, because... You know, that's where it is a theft. It's robbing the other person of the intuition. And, you know, the funny thing is I always try to explain that, I try to help people understand that a lot of people already know this, but some people don't really recognize that it's twofold, that when you're dishonest with someone and you're not telling the truth, not only, like if you're trying to protect them from being hurt, so... You know, you went to a party, you didn't do anything wrong, but you didn't want them to know because, you know, for whatever reason. not once they find out the truth, now they're dealing with two parts to it. They're dealing with the fact that you lied to them and the fact of the first thing that they were going to be upset to begin with about.
Exactly. Well, and then, you know, self-interest is a great sales gimmick. So when I'm trying to sell people on the idea of being honest, one of the things that I point out to them is that if you're presenting yourself as something other than what you are to the people that are closest to you, I mean, it's one thing to lie to, you know, the police officer when you get pulled over for a speeding ticket. It may not be great for you, but it's probably not going to really erode your self-esteem. But if you are lying about some really big things to the people closest to you because you don't want to lose their affection, then basically what you're telling your subconscious is the real you does not deserve to be loved.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you said self-interest. Well, it's actually very self-centered also, because in my estimation, that's a selfish thing to do, because if I'm doing something in our relationship that I know you're not going to like, right, that because I know it's a big taboo in your mind, right?
Right.
If I tell you that, you're going to leave me. Well, but the thing is that you have that right to make your choice. And so I'm being selfish by not telling you the truth about who I am. You get to decide. So in a way, I'm taking your power away and not letting you make a decision for yourself based on who I really am.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got some comments from some brave souls, and no offense to the people who are kind of speaking out in favor of lying. Unless, of course, it's happening to you. But I actually autograph a lot of my books. The truth is always better, because that for me has always been a gold standard. It's why I went on national TV and talked about escorting and all kinds of things that, you know, lots of people found very disagreeable subject matter, but because to me honesty is really important. And I think it sets you free. I do. I actually believe the truth will set you free. But we got a couple of people on here who are like, yeah, truth is very important to me. So we've got Hanane Garcia says, no, I'm not ashamed or afraid to tell the truth anymore. Matter of fact, I'm known as the girl that tells it how it is. There's no BS with me. Sometimes it hurts others' feelings, but in the end, they realize that at least I'm not lying to them. I tell my son now, don't be afraid to tell the truth. People will respect you more for your honesty than you lying to them in their face. Don't dig yourself into a hole you can't get out of.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's... It's kind of a rare standard nowadays, in my opinion. I feel like our culture, our popular media and culture, really kind of reflect the whole idea of lying, and telling the truth isn't valued as much as
well. It's interesting that you're saying that, because I actually was saying to a friend that I personally feel like an anomaly. Because I think you and I actually are like-minded. I'm very, very, very strong about telling the truth. And I try, like I said, to do it in the most loving way, but I've even been in groups of people, even recently, a couple months ago, where we brought up the whole subject of lying, and I was the only one at the table who did not think it was okay to lie. Like I said, it's okay, like if, you know, you're trying to get out of a ticket, or, you know, whatever, your taxes, whatever, you know. But
yeah.
When it comes to relationships, people thought it was okay to tell those white lies. Like, you know, okay, yeah, that cake tasted great, even when it didn't.
That's, you know, this is the thing that really perplexes me, is it's, yeah, okay, I get it. If you are in a power struggle with an authority figure and you're basically trying to get by with something, I get it. But if you are trying to establish an intimate relationship with another person, what is the reason to have intimacy if it's not to be intimate?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you possibly be intimate with another person if you're lying to them? How does that work?
I think that's a good point. But, you know, what's interesting is I think you can have intimacy, but is it a full-fledged, 100% open, you know, like energy between you and that person that is completely free connection, it puts little blocks in different parts of the energy connection if you have a lie in the middle of you.
Maybe that's the point right there, is that the level of intimacy, I'm greedy. I want it all.
Me too, Veronica.
I don't want half truths. I don't want to tell you half truths. If we're going to be intimate, I want to tell you everything. I want to feel completely loved and accepted for everything there is to know about me.
Yeah, and ditto. I want to be able to give that unconditional love and accept somebody. I mean, it's ironic that the subject tonight came up as being, you know, originally we were just going straight down a fear path, and then we went down a truth path. And ironically, I had a situation over the weekend where I actually caught a friend in a lie, surprisingly enough. And you know what? It was a beautiful opportunity for that person to take responsibility and learn what their reasons were for making that choice, and for me to forgive them and say, I love you no matter what.
Well,
so it is possible.
Oh, God, yes. Now, see, that's the thing. I have found that, you know, as far as lies go, they are fairly commonplace, especially in our current culture. And I've had to forgive people. I don't cut people out of my life because they've lied to me. But I will pull back my trust. So I will continue to love them. But I will, have a little more reserved boundary, knowing that the information that I may be getting may not be the truth. And therefore,
absolutely.
how much can I trust them? You know, am I going to trust them with my life?
When I think it takes time.
Yeah.
I do think it's possible, though, to, you know, people ask me in marriages, if the husband was cheating and the wife feels so betrayed, how am I ever supposed to trust him again? Well, I do believe it's possible. It takes time. It takes communication. It takes a willingness on the person who cheated and lied. They need to be open to the person's questions, you know, so it can heal. Like, even in cases where they're pretty extreme, where somebody's lied, there are always ways to get through it if the communication, the openness, the willingness is there.
I think the, a lot of it, too, is about the difference between an apology and an amends, or at least that's the terminology that I use because I've got a background in 12-step recovery. But an apology, a lot of times, it kind of comes across as almost seeking permission to do it again.
I call it an excuse for the behavior.
Exactly. I mean, it's like when you were little kids, you know, Johnny, tell Sally you're sorry. I'm sorry. And then, you know, so then the kid gets in the habit of, you know, whatever they did, I've said I'm sorry. So you can't be mad at me anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the concept of an amends is that, you know, I have to show up saying, wow, I really get how I've, you know, devastated the trust between us. I realize that I'm going to have to take responsibility to rebuild that trust. And that's not your responsibility, that's mine. And if you don't trust me, well, that's, you know, the fruits of what I did. So instead of coming at you with, like, when are you going to get over this? You know, which is what a lot of people will do. It's like, you know, I said I'm sorry, and you should forgive now. Oops, we've got a caller. Caller, do you want to weigh in on this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. Who's this?
Jim.
Hi, Jim. Where are you calling
you
from?
Ohio.
Ohio. Fabulous. It must be kind of late out there. Did you have a comment or a question?
Well, yeah. I mean, what you've been talking about here the last half hour or so relates to my pattern and how I've lived my life from childhood on. And it's really pretty bad. When I get into a relationship, I get in by lying and not really letting them know who I am or what I want. And I'm more interested in accommodating, you know, to get into the relationship.
Right.
And then later on, I get a outside interest to, you know, put attention on and do that instead of being really in the relationship focused on that. And then it slowly deteriorates over a period of time, and then they leave me, and then I see basically it's about seeing that I'm bad or selfish or, you know, not good enough, that kind of thing. But
okay.
The reason I got in is to look good and to, you know, accommodate by looking good.
Right.
So I'm just kind of wondering, well, a person in my situation, how do they, right, kind of undo that?
Well, now, let me clarify just before we go to the answer there. Do you want to undo that pattern in your life, or are you trying to undo that pattern in a particular relationship?
Well, I'm going through a divorce right now, a second divorce.
Okay.
So, yeah, in the relationship, but in throughout the whole life. I mean,
okay.
It seems like it is a pattern. I had this structural consulting and pattern thing done about 15, 20 years ago. So I've known about that, but I haven't been able to find a way to either change subconscious beliefs that kind
right.
of keep me locked into that, or how to go about actually changing it.
Okay. Well, let's ask our guest first, and then I'm also going to give you my response to it. But Julia, would you like to tell Jim what your suggestions would be for him to be able to change this pattern for his next relationship, because he's going through a divorce now. So if he doesn't want to go through this all over again, what would you recommend?
Well, one of the things I've worked with different men who have come to me with the same types of patterns, Jim. So you're not alone, and that's a good thing. There's a lot of people that do have the pattern. And the thing is that over time, as you start uncovering, I mean, you said one of the key things, you said changing unconscious beliefs. And I think that that takes time and work for you to start looking at what those unconscious beliefs are and working with somebody so that you can start uncovering what is it that's causing me to make these choices and being very conscious when the choices come up. So, you know, the next time you meet somebody, like just the way of thinking about it, the next time you start to meet somebody and you're starting to date, you say you lie by getting in. Well, one of the things would be, okay, what am I about to do right now? So it's really about having that conscious knowledge of why you're doing what you're doing. And when we really do uncover those things, it's that is the beginning of the change of the behavior. And it kind of, I mean, if you think about the 12-step recovery, first we have to admit we have the problem, and you're already in step one wanting to change it. In fact, you're beyond it mm-hmm. because there's pre-contemplation, then, you know, which is before you even start wanting to change the behavior. And so it's really about doing work to uncover those unconscious patterns. And you yourself said it. So you're already on the right path. It's a matter of uncovering those things.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to applaud your courage, Jim. I really do. I mean, I think, first of all, just the idea that you would admit that you're where you're at right now, and second of all, that you're looking for change, I think that's awesome. And if I were working with you, and I agree with Julia, it takes time to change these patterns. So it's not like whatever answers she and I give you tonight are going to suddenly shift your whole world on its axis. But the two things that I would really want to work with you around would be both empathy and self-esteem. Because one of the things about honesty is that it actually boosts our self-esteem. It starts, you know, making us feel better about ourselves. But there's also other things that you can do to build your self-esteem so that you won't feel that compulsion to tell a lie, because usually when we're lying, we don't really feel good about ourselves, and we're trying to make ourselves look better than we think we actually look. And then the other thing is empathy, because empathy builds that connection with other people, and you start to realize that your lies have a really devastating effect on other people. And if you can connect with other people's hearts in an empathic way, then that becomes a deterrent to expressing yourself in a dishonest fashion, because you start to realize that you don't want to be responsible for that kind of pain. So those would be two areas that I think would be, you know, really good to even research if you wanted, read books about. Go ahead, Jim.
And here's the thing. I think that I really don't trust that relationships will last, and I get involved with people I don't think I should really be involved with. Mm. Kind of like, you know, my parents weren't the ones that I should have been with, or, you know, they didn't have my good intentions in heart, you know. They didn't really care about what I wanted to do or who I was. They just basically said, you know, shut up, Jim, just do what we say. You know, we don't care if you like it or not, you're going to do it. You know, that kind of thing. So I think I get involved with people I really shouldn't be with, and I don't trust that the relationship's going to last, and so I'm lying about it, but because I you know, like, I want to be in a relationship to try to get some love, but really I never receive any love, and I think I know my responsibility is just as much. You know what I'm saying? And I took an Avatar course about belief management. This was over a decade ago. And there was an exercise that said, just say what you're going to do and then do it. And then say something else and do that. And so I started doing it, and I was able to freely go from one thing to another. But within several minutes, I was locked up. I couldn't move. And that's how my life feels. And I think there's a lot of supporting beliefs that kind of fit some kind of structure that kind of keeps me locked in some kind of space that I don't want to be in. It's like, that's one of my things when I was going through childhood. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. You know, I don't know why I need to do this. You know, what did I do to deserve this kind of thing? There's some really nasty things. And I'm just wondering, how do I unravel this so that I can start putting some of this stuff behind me and really start moving my life forward?
Well, I think the key word there was unravel, Jim. And by the way, I just want to acknowledge that I can feel a lot of pain right now. And you know, I have similar pain. There's other areas of my life where it's just there's certain patterns come from childhood, and you're like, I want to be free of this, and it does start to feel like some kind of a prison that you can't get out of. Julia, would you like to respond to his question?
I think I just would go back to, you know, one of the key words that you said that Veronica pointed out is unraveling it, and I think one of the things is to go back, because one of the things you brought up is just around, you know, your parents, and it's really hard sometimes to separate those triggers and those things that come up from our parents, but it's important over time, and this is some of the work that you would need to do, is to start separating that was then and this is now, and the people who are in your life now are not your parents, and it really comes down to time and getting with the, you know, working with someone to start unraveling it and going through this process. It's a journey and it's a healing process. And I think just the fact that you called in, that you've got the courage, you want to change, that's the key. And the next step is taking that action to get the assistance and start going through this process to unravel it, to get to those unconscious beliefs and start shifting those energies so that you can start seeing that today is different than it was yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And I classes, workshops, books, all of those things are fabulous and wonderful up to a point. But really working with a coach or a therapist, a counselor, you know, or going to a support group like a 12-step group, where you've got a continuous exposure, like every week for a year, that kind of intense, you know, commitment is what can shift paradigms. And, you know, frankly, I've been working on myself for 25 years. So, so, you know, that to me, it's something I plan on doing for the rest of my life. But I don't like to overwhelm people with the prospects of spending their whole life doing that. So, you know, a year, I tell you, a year can make a huge difference in patterns. It really can. And if you can make a commitment to do something like that for yourself for a year, you can wake up a year later and find out that you are living a completely different life, that it doesn't have to be where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can, I mean, the shifts can even start happening really, really quick. I have a client where they started happening immediate, like within a month, the changes started happening because the commitment was there.
Yeah, it is. And maybe we should ask you, Jim, have you already done therapy?
Well, I did that John Bradshaw, you know, The Child Within or whatever.
Yeah.
This was
yeah.
years ago, though. And I didn't really see any difference, though, to be honest with you.
How long did you do it?
I mean, part of it, I think, is I'm too analytical.
Oh, Jim,
and I don't
I'm gonna stop. Jim, hold on a second. Take a breath. Let's go back to my question. How long did you do it?
I think that was about a half year, about once a week.
Okay, so like about six
yeah.
months.
Yeah.
Maybe about 6 months, yeah. Okay. The reason that I wanted to interrupt you was just because a lot of times we kind of have our story about ourselves, and I could hear you kind of getting into your story about yourself. And sometimes when you want to create change in your life, you've really just got to take that action, take that leap of faith. And it's helpful to look at what you already did. So if you would go into a support group for about 6 months and you don't feel like it made any changes or you don't feel like it made major changes.
Well, I mean, when I try different programs and stuff, I'm looking for a change that I can see, but it's like I'm still the same. I'm still the same beliefs. You know, for some reason I'm holding on, like, for dear life for some reason. I don't know if my subconscious is afraid, you know, of what I consciously want. You know, if it can't handle it or what. But I'm looking for a major change because this life sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, bottom line, you know, and I don't know. I'm 55, and I'm pretty tired of this. You know, this has been for at least 40 to 50 years.
Okay.
You know.
Well,
and
have you ever done any
really
program
honestly,
for
I'm not
longer
kidding
than
you.
Six? Jim.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I talked over you. What were you saying?
Well, I really want some kind of a change consciously, but I think almost subconsciously or spiritually or something, it's trying to hold me back. And it's like, it really sucks. And the way I'm living life is really bad.
I hear you.
And I mean, you know, I don't really want to be dishonest, but it's like, I don't really find too many people that I can really be honest to.
I hear you.
You know? And,
Jim, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever done anything like therapy or coaching or a 12-step or support group for longer than 6 months?
No.
Okay. What I want to point out is that, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So if your pattern is that you check into various different programs for 6 months or less, and then you don't see the results that you're looking for, my challenge to you would be you need to stick with it for longer than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simple formula. Look at your life and see what it is you do over and over again, and know that the only way you're going to get different results is if you change something.
Right. But you know what I'm saying. I'm looking, but I don't know really what to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who to turn to or whatever. And the thing is, this also revolves around sexual identity, I think, even. I don't even know who I am. You
know?
I mean, I've got questions about that. And I don't know if that should be even brought up now or if that's down the pike or what, but I mean, there's some major issues.
Well, before we take on the sexual identity thing, I want to give Julia Young is my guest tonight. She's a relationship coach, and I want to give her a chance to give you some feedback about what she thinks might be a good thing, a good next step for you. And then I would love to come back and give you some feedback about gender identity, okay?
Okay,
Julia?
Yeah. I definitely think that seeking out a coach or a relationship coach or a therapist would be the next step. And one of the things that when you're I would recommend when you're looking for someone is someone who understands breaking unconscious patterns that we carry and focuses on that, as well as more of a solution-focused approach, because you don't want to get into therapy and just be talking about everything that happened in your past, because that's not going to heal, that's not going to change the behaviors today. So it's a matter of kind of marrying both, finding ways to uncover those unconscious patterns in order to change what's happening today. So seeking out someone for that.
And you'd be ideal, right?
I would absolutely be ideal. I have other clients that I'm actually working with who are going through very similar issues and have had patterns of cheating and, you know, have damaged marriages and so forth. And I am watching these people as they uncover their patterns and their reasons. They're catching themselves in the process and making changes in their choices and actions. It all really comes down to you and what commitment you're willing to make to yourself.
Right. See, now, I don't know if I excuse it, because, you know, I think, you know, consciously I want something. I say that I want something, but subconsciously it's like, well, Jim, we don't want you to do that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's all part of what can be worked through when you start working with someone that you find a good fit. And if you seek me out and it seems like a very good fit for you, then that's something that we can work through and start to uncover.
Uh-huh. I mean, do you think that's just like a belief that I have that could be undone?
I personally would say that based on experience and working with people, that what happens is we get very comfortable, and Virginia Sertiers talks about this, is the comfort level that we have with what we already know. And we avoid the unknown because the unknown is scary. And so a part of you is so used to being in this dynamic, in this pattern, that it's unsafe because you've not ventured out to try a new way of interacting in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a matter of time, and that's going to be there. That's natural for you to hold yourself back in some ways because you've been doing this for so long.
Right.
And so truth be told, you absolutely can shift that, and it's a matter of over time. You know, it's just like any fear that a person has. If they face the fear and they start slowly moving through it and processing the beliefs that they're holding around it, ultimately that fear begins to dissolve, and the unknown becomes the known.
Mm-hmm.
And the current comfortable becomes the uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want this to become very uncomfortable so that I never come in it again. Because it is very uncomfortable. I mean, it is uncomfortable, but I'm still staying in it. I want to be able to move out of it.
Jim, if I may, this is Veronica again. I just want to say that I just tracking your energy, and following along with you this evening one of the things that really comes up very, very strong for me is that there is some pattern from your childhood that I think you feel like there's an invisible barrier that has a great deal of control over you. And I get the sense that it's very difficult for you to even put it into words because it goes so far back, you're not entirely sure what the message is. But I'm going to guess that there is a message that's been implanted in you from a very, very early age that almost gives you the feeling that you have to behave this way.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering
well, I mean,
if this feedback resonates with you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my mom always saying, well, Jim, as long as you live under this roof, you're going to do what I say. You know? I mean, I remember hearing that many times. And then the other thing is my older brother.
When I'm working with my clients, a lot of times I actually do, I don't spend a lot of time on the childhood thing because I don't, you know, I'm not like trying to do talk therapy, but I will spend time trying to find the pattern and the message. What was that message that basically said to you, this is how I have to handle these type of situations? And the other thing that you brought up was sexual identity. I'm sure you know I'm a certified sexologist, but why is it that you're questioning your sexual identity at this point?
Well, I've actually done it for decades.
Okay.
I really don't know. I don't know really what role it's playing. Okay, even though I was married, at first it was pretty close, but then it kind of wavered. It wasn't very strong near the end, and I think it was just the interest, you know, and an outside interest and so forth. But I'm wondering if really I am really a man inside or a woman, and what my fantasies, how that affects that, and what I should do.
Okay.
I don't even know how important that is to me. I think it's secondary, because I'd rather get this other stuff taken care of first. But it's still, I think it plays along with it. I think there's a part of me that does not want to be empowered. There's a part of me that wants to be controlled and not take responsibility. But yet there's another part of me, I'm a Pisces, that wants the power and the control over my life and to be able to take action for what I want and to really get clear on it and really make a difference.
Okay.
But yet I'm still not clear on exactly what I want to do. I don't know my life purpose.
The reason you're not clear is because you're talking a lot of vague generalities, and if you and I end up talking, in a session, one of the things that I'm going to have to pull out of you is what kind of behaviors and fantasies you're actually having. And I would want to find out something about your sexual history, and talk about some specifics so that we can start actually putting words around it and get that out in the open. Because I get a sense that there is a lot of stuff that you don't even talk about with yourself, let alone another person. And, you know, honesty really starts with you. It's about your relationship with yourself first, and then your relationship with other people. So, and I got to tell you, we're coming. We've got about another 5-10 minutes to the show. So we're going to have to start winding things up. And I don't want to, like, bust you open around gender identity, because you're saying you don't even know if that's important. It's huge. That's a huge,
I think it's a very, very huge topic. But yet, you know, I don't know. Like I said, this is an unraveling thing. I think it's related, like I just said, with, you know, having power over myself and taking control and responsibility and so forth versus
It's related to honesty. It's related to everything. Honesty, self-esteem, your gender identity is huge.
Yeah.
So, but I would like to tell you this, no matter what ends up being the truth, it's all okay, and you're just right the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, I don't feel that way.
I know.
I don't feel that it's all right.
Well, you've got a big question mark right now. You're not entirely sure what's waiting for you in there, so of course you don't feel okay.
I mean, that's what I need to be able to work out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take some digging. It's going to take some digging to get in there and find out what all of that is. But it feels scary. But if you have the right guide, it's not going to be scary at all. It's going to be very freeing. You're going to finally shine a light on all of those dark inner secrets and find out who you really are, and you're going to have a lot of reason to celebrate.
Well, that would be great. Now, so what should I do then? I should get with Julia?
Well, if you're going to go into the role, if you're going to, I think it's really important bringing up the gender identity, and honestly, I think Veronica would be the, because she's more specialized in that, if you are going down that path, I think it's in your best interest to see Veronica in this particular case.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying start with Veronica and do the sexual identity thing first?
I think that, yeah, I really think that would be a first step for you. I really do. Because
I do too.
Our sexual identity and our sexuality is like at our very core, and everything else springs out from that. And if you start knowing yourself in that sense and you start feeling really good about yourself in that sense, then you're going to be able to connect all the other dots to that. But when that's a big question mark and that's a big scary place that we don't understand yet, then it really puts every other facet of our life in disarray.
Now, is sexual identity linked to the recurrent fantasies?
Well, sexual identity is linked to everything, but sexual orientation and sexual identity are not the same thing, and they can happen in a lot of different configurations. And people do kind of conflate them and get confused about them sometimes. So that would be something that you and I would explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
okay.
So Jim,
all right,
I'm going to have to spend the last 5 minutes here giving Julia a chance to promote herself. But can I give you my 800 number and my email address?
Yes.
And if you like, I can take yours and contact you. It's up to you.
Okay. No, go ahead and give me yours.
Okay. So my toll-free number is 888-903-0050.
Okay.
That's 888-903-0050.
Okay.
And then you can email me, veronica@sexwithoutshame.com.
Okay.
Okay. And I'd really like to work with you. I have clients from Miami to the United Kingdom and Germany. So it's
wow.
Over the phone, just like we've been doing tonight. Only thing is, I actually give you homework. And anyway, I guarantee you will start feeling much, much better within a very short time.
Okay, great. All right, thank you very much, both of you.
Thanks for calling the Shame Free Zone, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Good night. So that was a great call, huh, Julia?
Absolutely fabulous.
He was our poster child for honesty. And that's the whole thing that I think the message that we wanted to share with our listeners tonight was that honesty sets you free. It really does. It helps you connect with your own ability to love yourself and your ability to create intimacy. And you know, obviously when we lie to our partners, oftentimes that shortens the length of the relationship as well as the quality of it.
Yeah, and then you carry the burden of the shame and guilt and all of those things that can go along with it, and it's just, that's why it's so freeing. And he just, like, took the hugest step in the direction to free himself by, you know, putting that all out there. That was just beautiful.
Oh, I'm so proud of him. Proud of him.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and actually, come to think of it, I should not have asked him for his contact information on the air. That was a bad move.
I didn't even notice that. I was just so deep into the conversation, I didn't even notice
it. I know, and I was like, going, hey, wait a minute, you don't want to put that out on the air. It's okay for me to put my contact information out there, but sorry about that, Jim. Yeah, we want to guard your privacy as best we can. So, yeah, so it's quite a thing. This the sexual secrets that people keep can just be so crippling,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you run into that too.
Absolutely, and it is amazing. The more you face your sexuality and just really delve into that and accept yourself fully from that perspective, it is so amazingly free. You can really, it's like living, you live in truth more and more when you're comfortable with that within yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we do have only about another 4 or 5 minutes here, and it looks like we've got a couple more comments coming in on Facebook here too. So, I better check this out here. I'm not sure what this one's about. But what are some of the things that you'd like our listeners to know about contacting you? And maybe tell them about your contact information, like your voicemail, email, website. This would be a good time to put those things out there again.
Okay, so I can be contacted at www.JulieAnnYoung, which is JulieAnnYoung.com. And within my website, there's a contact tab, but to put it out there, my contact number is 888-247-0119. And all of my coaching is done over the phone. And even with couples, they can dial in. One can be at the office, one can be on the way home. I tend to prefer people to be settled in sitting when they're making their call, but it is possible, and it really helps when, you know, couples can, they don't have to meet at the place, and it's beneficial to some. Some people need to be in person. But the majority of people really, really, really like doing the coaching over the phone. So,
okay, and I really think that's the wave of the future. By the way, I do. People have such busy schedules; it's very difficult for them to come to an office, and they can a lot of times squeeze their coaching or consulting or therapy. Even a lot of therapists are starting to do this on the phone. In between work and home.
Lunch hour. I have a client that calls me on it. We do the lunch hour thing. It's great.
Yeah. Now, see here, you've got a standard package, which includes 4 sessions each month.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
And I definitely work with clients on different basis. It's really a matter of talking through what works best with the individual.
Right.
So, I mean, I tend to just like to stick with, you know, okay, you pay at the beginning of the month, it's 4 sessions, but it can change depending. And if you're a couple, sometimes the first couple sessions need to be longer because there's more work that needs to be done to, you know, talk things through. And so it's good to call me and talk through your individual situation in order to figure out what package would work best for you.
Okay, and by the way, guys, for our listeners, I just want to point out here, you've got a blog on your website as well, and some of the titles of the blog topics here, letting go of expectations, words to release, what is your definition of success, so also some very helpful reading here. So check out JulieAnnYoung.com, and What term should they Google if they, you know, sometimes these links are a little confusing for people, if they just want to Google for you?
I think, you know, I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. I think relationship coach, Julie, I think it comes up as Julianne Young. So relationship coach, Julianne Young. I'm just checking it.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
Julia didn't do it. It has to be Julianne.
Yeah.
There you go. It has to be Julianne. So it's spelled J-U-L-I-A-N-N. If you put it in Julianne Young, relationship
yep.
coach, then you're right there at the top of the Google page.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Someday we might have to work together. I really enjoyed that.
I know. I did, too. It was fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. We're going to have you back here again. I'm sure you're going to have a book at some point, right?
I'm working on one, Commit to Love.
Commit to Love. What a beautiful title.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful title. Well, when you get ready to go to press, let me know, and we'll have you back on here, and we'll talk about your book.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Veronica.
All right, Julian. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for adding so much light and love and wisdom to the Shame-Free Zone.
Okay, take care.
You too. Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you.